tale. Countless. I can't count the times I've preached on it, read it, and anyone who's familiar at all with the life of Jesus has probably heard about the resurrection. And so it's... counting the decades, Jack. I like stories with twists in the plot. I love movies that kind of seem to be leading you down one path, and then suddenly, in the end, they take you in a direction you didn't suspect. You know, there's some of my favorite movies over the years I've enjoyed. There's a really good horror movie, believe it or not, from about 15 years ago called The Others. It's a horror movie without blood, guts, without gore, starring Nicole Kidman. But it's got an incredible twist ending that I had no idea was coming. Another more recent movie that has a really interesting plot twist is called Arrival. Has anybody seen Arrival? Okay, it's an alien movie. It's a little bit of language and violence problems in it, but overall, pretty good family film for tweens and teens and families. But the ending just was, it took me like an hour after the movie ended to figure out what happened in the ending. And when I finally unraveled, it's like, wow, that was brilliant writing. I'm not going to tell you how it ends because, you know, you might want to see it. But one movie I think that's old enough that if this is my third illustration is going to be a spoiler. So if you've not seen the old Planet of the Apes, I'm talking the original one with Charlton Heston, and you don't want to hear the ending, plug your ears, okay? But this has got to be the best plot twist of all time because all through the movie, the astronaut Taylor thinks he's on an alien planet interacting with these simians with human intelligence, and then in the very end of the movie he realizes that he's back on planet Earth. You know, incredible plot twist. But this is all fiction, and we gather today, not just today, every time we gather in the name of Jesus, we gather around the greatest plot twist in history. I mean, movies are one thing, but we recognize that the resurrection is the ultimate real plot twist. How the story ended is something that nobody at the time expected, and I think that's lost on us because we've heard it so many times. It's like watching a surprise ending movie again. It's like it's not a surprise the second time. But the first time you experience it, it's mind-blowing. And we've heard the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, the story of the church so many times, we forget. The stories almost kind of become like legends to us instead of the mind-blowing realities that they truly are. So we have to remind ourselves, this really happened. This really happened. God became a man. That man was killed. That corpse rose from the grave and lives forevermore and has conquered death. So I've preached on it so many times. It's hard to know, okay, how can we kind of package it different? I don't think we need to package it different. This morning we have a shorter time together, but what I would like to do is just do a very simple retelling of the gospel story. Johnny is going to help read some scriptures, and my wife and I are going to do some simple songs along with it, just to remind all of us what an incredible reality and what an incredible plot twist the resurrection of Jesus was. You know, when I first received and accepted the Lord's invitation to follow Him, when I first became a follower of Christ about 32 years ago, I started writing songs. I'd always wanted to write songs, but I never could before that. But all of a sudden, I found my destiny. I found the meaning of why we exist, and I just couldn't help but pour forth music, and I've been writing songs about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus for decades now. And because there's so much to explore, so much about the Savior Jesus to know. And so this morning as we do a simple retelling of the gospel story, we're going to share just a few simple songs. A couple of them I wrote 30 years ago, one I wrote more recently. But let's just let our hearts reflect on the power and the reality of this. You know, sometimes after we hear a song, we reflexively applaud. I'm going to release you from the responsibility to applaud. I'd rather just all of us be able to ponder what Jesus did and who He is through this time. So we're reminded that without a crucifixion, there was no resurrection. So I'm going to ask Johnny to read to us about what happened on the cross. So, Johnny.
When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews."
Behold the man, so silent and still, the picture of lowly esteem, who now gives himself to die by the hands of those he had come to redeem. He'd come to redeem. What of the thorny crown that's piercing his brow? Could he not cast it away? What of the wooden cross he bears on his back? The burden of suffering and shame. But he said, "Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. They don't understand that they persecute you. For their hearts have been hardened, and their eyes they cannot see. So Father, forgive them for me." He came as a light for all men to see, but the darkness would not understand how God in his glory and power could be embodied in this lowly man, this meek, humble man. What greater sacrifice could God make? What greater injustice could there ever be than he who had made the stars in the heavens be put to death on a criminal's tree? And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't understand that they persecute you, for their ears cannot hear, and their eyes they cannot see. So Father, forgive them for me. Father, please forgive them for me."
It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin.
Now, this is interesting because Joseph was a member of the council that had sentenced Jesus to death. He was a Jewish ruler, but he had not consented to the death. Some have called Joseph a secret disciple because he was a follower of Jesus, and he wholeheartedly disagreed with sentencing Jesus to the cross. But all four Gospels record what Joseph did. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all make sure that we know something. That is that Jesus was dead and he was put in a tomb. Because some skeptics have said that Jesus didn't really die on the cross, that he had lost so much blood that he passed out, was unconscious. It's called the swoon theory. And so he looked dead, and so they put him in a tomb, but he after 3 days, felt better and came out, so there wasn't a real resurrection. No. Jesus was dead. He was placed in the tomb of a wealthy man. And all went their way, thinking that that was the end of the story. But then the plot twists in a way that no one could have imagined.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened."
Now John tells us that immediately after that, Peter and John left the tomb, and they left Mary Magdalene there alone. And she was weeping because she still thought the story was over. She thought that Jesus had died and now even his corpse was missing. But she was about to get the surprise of her life. Amen? There in the garden, she wept as the morning drew nigh. A stranger approached her and asked, "Woman, why do you cry?" And she said, "Good sir, oh please tell me, where is he laid?" Then he raised his eyes gently and he whispered her name. She turned and beheld him. Wonder and joy filled her eyes. For the one she'd seen crucified now stood before her alive. And he said, "Run to my brothers and this message give. Tell them I'm risen. Tell them I live. Tell them come to the garden and see where he lay. Come share the life that has conquered the grave. Come see the Master, he's risen today.
for the stone has been rolled away. Where is the darkness that held him confined to the cave? Where is the victory of death and the sting of the grave? Life has prevailed, now the victory's won. Come and behold him, the risen Son. Won't you come to the garden, see where he made? Come share the life that has conquered the grave. Come see the master, he's with us today. For the stone has been rolled away. Oh, how can you gaze in his face and just walk away? He laid down his life for a ransom that you could not pay. Now the tomb of the wealthy man stands there, empty of reason to breathe. Oh, Jesus is risen, salvation is given to all who come and believe. Won't you come to the garden and see where he lay? Come share the life that has conquered the grave. Come see the master, he's risen today. For the stone has been rolled away.
Mary did what Jesus told her to do. She went to the disciples and she told them that he had risen, that she'd seen him. But they still thought she was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They didn't believe her because in their mind the story was already over as well, and they couldn't believe that there was more to it. But they too were about to get the surprise of their lives.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" Thank you.
Emmaus Road, two men walking. He approached as they were talking. He looked at them in love and asked, "Who are you speaking of?" He said, "Have you not heard of Jesus? We thought he'd be the one to free us, but surely we were wrong. For now the master's gone." He said, "How slow you are to understand. The Christ had to suffer for the sins of man." Then he opened their eyes. He opened their eyes. Their hearts burned within them, but they couldn't see the light until he opened their eyes. When he opened their eyes, saw the Savior risen and alive, salvation undisguised. He opened their eyes. He spoke of prophecies fulfilled, how it was all the Father's will for Christ to come and die, a perfect sacrifice. They didn't recognize his face, but when they came to the place, he broke the bread and prayed, and their blinders fell away. And like a fire that cut right through the night, all their doubt and darkness turned to light. Oh, when he opened their eyes, he opened their eyes. Their hearts burned within them, but they couldn't see the light till he opened their eyes. When he opened their eyes, they saw the Savior risen and alive, salvation undisguised. He opened their eyes. Oh, how many need to see glory, the reality of Jesus, to break through their blindness so they understand how he sees us, he sees us. Would you open our eyes, open our eyes? Give us faith to flee the darkness, run into the light. Lord, open our eyes, open our eyes. We'll see the Savior risen and alive, the one who lived and died, forever glorified. Salvation undisguised. He opened their eyes.
And that's what needs to happen to all of us, isn't it? It needs to open our eyes. The greatest story ever told is a true story. And yet sometimes we live as if it's just a myth. We forget the reality of it. Some days we let darkness engulf us. There's a saying, I think it dates all the way back to the 16th century. It says, "There are none so blind as those who will not see." Reminds me of something the Scripture says. It says, these people, they have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. May the Lord open our eyes, not to the Easter story, but to the reality of resurrected life that Jesus accomplished for everyone who will receive it. If you've never put your trust in Christ, if you've not been born again, if you've not been made confident that your sins are forgiven, that you're given a clean slate, then choose to follow him now. What a perfect day for it. What a perfect day to begin your new life on the day that we commemorate Jesus' resurrection. Won't you choose to believe him? Maybe you have. Maybe you are born again, but you've let darkness engulf you. Maybe you're walking in discouragement or fear, confusion. May the Lord open our eyes. May he show us that he is the light of life. That he's doing good things, even in the pain, even in the storms. He's doing good things. Let's never let the power of this story diminish in our lives. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the power of the resurrection and for the untold multitude of lives that it continues to affect. Lord Jesus, this happened in history, but 2 millennia later, you are still transforming men and women all over this planet. And Lord, we eagerly await your return when we will see you face to face. But Father, in the meantime, as we walk this earth, as we live these earthly lives, help us to live them redemptively. Help us to live them as sojourners, as temporary dwellers, Lord. Help us to be light and life in this world. And help us not to try and find our place here, Lord, for this indeed is a very temporary state of things. I pray, Lord, for each one here, that for those who are sitting on the fence, who are contemplating this man Jesus, is he really all that he claims to be? Am I really a sinner? Do I need to have my sins forgiven? As they ponder these things, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would whisper truth. And we thank you for the reality of resurrected life. In Jesus' name, amen. And why don't we stand together?